638 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're getting toward the end of session, and so I wanted to have Michelle Salzman. She is our state representative for District 1. That's the northern half of Escambia County. On before the end of session. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So my plan was to do a little recap of what you accomplished in session, and since we've got 3.5 hours, oh my God, I had not gone on your page recently and looked at the bills you had. You have, by my count, correct me if I'm wrong, 35 bills this session?
That is correct.
Oh my God.
That is correct.
And
it's funny
most of them,
I don't tell people.
Most of them passed, or most either they are they either they've passed,
yes,
or they're in appropriations, which is always down to the final committee doing their thing, and then the governor, whether he line items them out or whatever. But wow, okay. So I don't know.
I know, isn't that so exciting?
That's crazy. That's really really good. How much money do you have in appropriations if they all go yes?
In social projects, about $25 million. I have another $15 million in limbo. We're really trying to create a cybersecurity dedicated school at UWF, not just a dedicated degree program, but actual faculty staff. And that's going to come down to the wire, though. We were looking at trying to do $15 million for that, but maybe we'll get six. I don't know. We're fighting. We're still fighting.
So you're asking, you got an EMS ambulance, you've got an Escambia County Fire
yeah.
Station and a pumper truck, you've got the Beulah Pedestrian Bridge.
Yeah, the fire station and the EMS trucks did not make it. And
okay.
I actually, when it went into negotiations, I said, take everything I have. You can have it all. Give me a fire station or some EMS trucks. If I go back home and all I funded was a road, I'm going to be so sad. But they couldn't do it. It doesn't quite work that way. You know, different silos have different leadership with different things. So
right.
I'm going to bring those back next session because I'm going to keep fighting. I think we should totally be investing in our safety. But I didn't get that. I did get a cool project with the Sheriff's Department funded for Shoot or Don't Shoot training simulator, which is super cool. And then I also have $1 million in play for the co-responder model with which will fund a sheriff's deputy and a city policeman. But that you're not going to see that anywhere because that's what the speaker, that was my ask to the speaker, if he could put that $1 million in there. It's really related to the mental health task force, which is why I went to him and asked him to do that. But tons of projects on the line. I just through the Hail Mary, I talked to all of the approach chairs and the leadership, and I said, I'm going to file as much as I can this year and try to get as much money as I can. I know that there's some infrastructure dollars coming down federally, and I know we have some great folks in leadership, so this is our moment. I don't think I'll get this lucky next session. And to be honest with you, we might not be that lucky after all if the
sure,
governor vetoes
sure.
projects based off of those congressional maps. You know, that's a big point of contention right now, but we're going to keep fighting a good fight.
Hey, as you campaigned on, if you bring even a buck back.
Well, I brought back $5 million last session, and now I have $25 million in play. I'm like, no, this is so – I'm just – over the moon.
Well, we'll
over
see.
The moon.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I did want to give you a second because you mentioned one. I want to get to the mental health task force in a second, but let's talk about some of the bills that are going to pass. ECUA term limits. That's one that was there was more about ECUA in that bill, but that was the big like headline element of that bill, right?
It is. You know, basically, we cleaned up a lot of the language. You know, the idea to get the delegation to be unanimous. Was we had to allow ECUA an opportunity to go in and clean up some of the stuff because that special act hadn't been touched in so long, and they've changed their operational procedures, as you know. And so it was a back and forth negotiation, and we came up with, you know, that the cool thing is if the governor doesn't appoint somebody, then the board has the authority now to or will once the governor or signs it. We'll have the authority to appoint somebody, which would keep that seat from being vacant. And then, you know, a couple of other little cleanup things. But the big part,
which, by the way, I don't want to gloss over this because we went, 11 months having that seat vacant because he didn't act. This one makes it 90-day requirement, right?
Right. Right. And that's the big thing. We had during campaign season, one of the ECUA reps was in the hospital. And one was sick with COVID, and I remember Kevin Stevens saying, Michelle, we got to fix this. What if both of them are out? Then we have two gone, and we're only going to be having three on the board. And you know how long it took us to replace the last one? I was like, Okay, Kevin, I'm listening.
Yeah.
So for ECUA, that was a really big deal for them. That was their big, please don't take this out. You know, it's so important that we have that representation. So, that's a super cool thing, too.
And this will be I'm
excited to get the term limit.
No, yeah, and this is a two-term limit. So anybody prior to July of this year that's exceeded two terms, they can't run for re-election, which is going to make the elections very interesting. So it's one of the
It's consecutive. It's consecutive,
right,
so they
can
come back after they took the fight. Yeah. So, I don't know. We also did term limits on school board members this year. That was the amendment when it was originally said that they were going to take away salaries, which I did not support, and I would not have voted up on. I just don't believe in that. But I definitely believe in term limits. So we've done term limits in a lot of special areas this session, and I foresee if I had a magic ball that saw the future, I foresee that we'll be continuing to put term limits on local government. I don't know how far it'll go, but
Sure. Certainly
something that most of my team, in my class, my freshman class, we all are really, and we don't like special districts either. We have a soil and water bill right now to remove special districts or special soil and water districts from Florida, and that's been a big point of contention, but it passed the House floor. So I think you're going to see a lot of that limiting government, getting rid of all these unnecessary pieces and trying
you mean,
to keep people
you mean,
from
and
getting
I heard some of the conversation
politicians.
About this. So you mean there's going to be a bill to eliminate the election of people that nobody knows who they are, nobody knows what they do, nobody has any idea how to research these candidates to even figure out how to vote for them, but we still put them on the ballot every 2 years. No, I think I'm with you on that
one.
It's crazy.
Oh,
I seriously, last election, for the first time, I said, I am going to learn about this soil and water conservation district. I'm going to learn about these candidates. There is no information. It's for me.
They're not allowed to fundraise.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they're not allowed to fundraise. And and when you don't fundraise, then they're just nobodies. Basically, what they do is they use that to get their name out there so they can run for office later is what I hear. I don't know if that's the case, but I was so excited to see that possibility because we have so many ballot initiatives and things like that. It's just, let's clean up that so that way when people, we're already confused enough when we're at the polls. Let's try to make it a little bit easier for us to do the right thing. And that soil and water district thing, I mean, all they're supposed to do is educate people. And we've come a long way in the past 60, 70 years. We don't need a special district for that now. We can use resources within the existing governmental entities.
Absolutely.
To share that information.
Agreed. So. We're talking to Michelle Salzman, State Representative for District 1. Michelle, hang on for just a second. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
I-10 and I-110 are logging no delays. We're looking good on Pine Forest as well as Blue Angels, gates of NAS Pensacola. Logging some slight slowdowns as you're getting up to the gate, but nothing too bad. And 98 is looking good. If you see something else on the roads, give me a call, 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Michelle Salzman. You got Autism Awareness Month. You got Childhood and Adolescent Cancer Awareness Month. You got Veterans Week.
Yeah.
All passed, so, and among other things.
Yeah.
So very cool. One of the ones that that you were working on is the Mental Health Task Force. And I know this would take us a whole show basically to talk about this, but can you maybe give people the 1 or 2 minute summary of what this is going to be, what's been accomplished, what it's going to mean for folks in Escambia County?
Sure. Well, the Mental Health Task Force was an idea just to bring community leadership together to have collaborative conversation about access to mental health care, what that looks like and where we're going with it, because as you know, that's a big issue in our community as well as, the entire United States. But for me, we can start here. And basically, we've been able to connect resources all the way from the state and even federal levels down to the local community, so we're not duplicating efforts in different silos of this process while putting other efforts in process areas that don't have those resources. For an example, one of the things that came out of it was, mental health is a big deal, especially with children that are mentally disabled or physically disabled, and autism is an issue. Being diagnosed if you're on Medicaid could take up to 2 years in our community because we only have a couple of doctors that are listed under the Medicaid coverage plan. So we filed a bill to expand Medicaid coverage for the diagnosis of autism disorder so that way children can get access to these things. And I mean, it seems like it's not mental health related, but obviously, if you can imagine the stress on a whole family not being able to access resources for your young child – when they're in those really critical stages. Well, the bill looks like it didn't move. That's because we were able to get Medicaid to change the policy at ACA. So now in the next few months, you're going to, if you have kids that are on that waiting list and families that have been trying to get access to these benefits so these children can get these counseling services and whatnot, they're going to be able to do that. That's kind of what we do. We kind of, we find little things that we can jump into and fix, and we just make those partners within the community or the state, and we try to make that change. And we've had many, many wins in the past 6 months that this task force has been enacted, and we are certainly looking forward to some many more.
Now, that's fantastic. Are the Blue Angels license plates for the motorcycles going to get through this year?
They passed the House floor. They're ready to go to the governor. We had, for the motorcycle plates, you had to file two bills, a fee bill and a plate bill. But what we were able to do, I filed both bills. I passed them in one committee in the House, which means that the Senate could take them up. And we were able to, hopefully it gets ratified and everything's good. But basically now anybody can do the same thing I did and get a motorcycle plate, but they'll only need one bill instead of two. So I foresee a lot more specialty motorcycle plates. But
for us, it's
a big win. We got the Blue Angels. Yeah.
And last thing, just because it's been in the big news, and I know your background in education, the head of the Parent Teacher Association, PTA, in Escambia County for a long time. I know education is what got you into politics in the first place. The HB 1557, the parental rights bill, can you maybe just take a minute and whatever you want to tell people about the truth about this bill and what it's going to mean? And, you know, even some people raising the question, you know, like, is this really a problem in Escambia County or across Florida? Can you just maybe take a second and talk about that?
Sure. That particular information in that bill is focusing on some school districts, and they were in South Florida. We haven't done this specifically in Escambia County. We're doing student plans with children in elementary school, teaching them how to be whatever they felt they should be, whether they were a boy and they want to be a girl or a girl and want to be a boy. They were doing this behind the parents' back because they were allowed to by law, because the child didn't want to tell their parents. So what this bill does, it just says, look, you can't do that. It doesn't say that you have to call the parent and tell them if a child's talking about it, but it says you can't create that parent plan or that child plan without the parent's knowledge anymore. For Escambia County, the story that I shared, that why I supported the bill, it has nothing to do with LGBTQ. It's, for me, when my daughter was in middle school, and I know this is an elementary, but it's the same issue. My daughter was anorexic, and for 2 years, I did not know she was anorexic. But the school counselors knew. They were putting her in different places to eat her lunch. They were doing all these things for her to help her.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, at home, I'm doing all the things that actually harm her emotionally, because I had no idea that she was struggling with anorexia. That school district didn't have to tell me. And that to this day just fires me up, because I was and am still one of the most active parents engaged in the children.
Yeah.
And whenever you ask my daughter why she didn't tell me, she says, it's the only thing I had to myself. You did everything else with me. It was all I had for me. And I know that's sad, but it shouldn't have been for her. It should have been something I was able to help her with. I had to send her to New Orleans for specialty treatment for 3 months. She almost died. Like, she couldn't even get out of bed because they had to keep her there because she was so weak she was so malnutritioned by the time I got to really understanding what was wrong with my child. So I say that to say I support the bill because I support parental rights. The bill is supposed to be about parental rights, but oftentimes people pick one little piece of the bill and they use that as their focus area so they can, you know, get their message out and you know, get the news media involved and whatnot. So,
well, look, on behalf of parents, I appreciate your support for the bill. I do. And Michelle Salzman,
that's all it is.
We're so completely out of time, but it's such great information. Congratulations on a good session, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for the time this morning.